For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Bleav.
This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
...53.5-yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 Hot Pod does it, all right, Hot Pod!
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel Truth!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network. Israel, my man, we are coming to you live, actually, and we are streaming finally. We've promised it and promised it and promised it. Here we are, man. Joining me on Willis on the Willis Digital Media platform, it's Israel Troop. What's up, Israel?
What's going on, man? We were just talking just a minute ago. I feel so famous now. We're actually on TV. Pretty much, and we're live streaming, man. This is awesome.
Absolutely, man. I'm so thankful. Steve has stepped up tremendously. If you want to check him out, our main man behind the scenes here at Willis Digital Media, you can check him out every day on his Palmcast. I've made appearances on there as well. You can check out our show Around the SEC, which will actually be we're in the works of maybe a title change, and it'll be SEC After Dark. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Israel, how's your summer training going?
Man, it's going great. We got our guys actually listed into summer school. So we were fighting the battle of trying to feed them lunch and feed them breakfast in the morning. So our principal, who's awesome, Dr. Perlite, actually let us sign them up for summer school. So what that entails is, They have two blocks. So first block is all weightlifting, pretty much football. And then their second block is a class that, you know, is a little bit easier during the summer, something that they don't have to take during the school year, which is awesome. So they feed them breakfast and lunch, you know, so we didn't have to worry about that. So thank you to our administration over at Monroe for helping us out. And for those who actually had to go to summer school, it actually gives us a chance to be with them. They get to do football with us, so it was a blessing from our administration to make that happen for us.
Absolutely, and we start next week with summer school, but we've our first week of football is in the books, so we're blessed and happy to be back in the weight room. We had Coach Darren Mustin; he was a longtime strength coordinator, bounced around college football, USC, Army. Is two of his most notable places, USC twice, okay. Actually. He came by and gave us a little tutorial. He's got a new company, Force Strength and Training, that he just started up here in Nashville.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Our kids just have me. And I told most of them today that I'm going to play psychological mind games with you all of June, to where you're probably going to hate me. But it'll pay off in June, July, and especially when we get into the season.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, well, once Coach Mustin left, they're going to be left with me and Coach Wilson in the weight room screaming at me. I guess they'll be begging for Coach Mustin. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say our show is presented by betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to Bet on all your sports action. Israel, my Hawks, man, they advanced. Yeah.
And that boy, Trey Young, is a beast, boy. Let me tell you.
Oh, he is, man.
He is a beast, boy.
Nick Killer right there, man.
Yes, he is. He had one heck of a series. It's finally good to see the Hawks get past the first round. I know a lot of it, AT aliens like yourself are happy to see that as well. So hopefully they can keep that magic going.
Absolutely. Somebody's got to be successful in Atlanta, right?
Somebody.
Certainly ain't going to be the Braves. You know, big losses everywhere. Ozuna decided he was going to get into some shenanigans. We won't talk about that. We're not a Braves show. We're not a law show. So, but BetOnline, I bet you didn't know it has you covered for all news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Israel, you can literally bet on anything. Anything.
Anything.
Give me anything. I bet you can bet on it.
Man, I bet. Well, me and my wife are actually watching the softball World Series right now. And I bet you can probably bet on how many times the girls chant throughout every pitch.
All right, let's see if there's a prop for that. Let's see if there's a prop.
There has to be.
Let's see. I'm pulling it up now. All right. Let's see. College softball. All right. Sports. This is great radio as I pull up. Let's see. Other sports. You can bet on rugby. You can bet on politics. So the next, you can bet on the next Australian federal election. It's going to be Coalition or the Labor Party. The Labor Party is 150. The Coalition is the heavy favorite at minus 200. Let's see. You can bet on who does Bill Gates. Oprah Winfrey. And as Israel's sitting by I-75.
I am. There's this kid who has. Do y'all have this thing in Nashville called they toot their trucks? Like they're really high in the front and really low in the back?
No.
So in South Georgia now, that's this thing that these kids are doing, and it's like the butt sitting down low, and this kid down here, he goes to Lee County, and his truck, you can hear it coming down the road. It is absolutely way too loud.
Yes. He's making his presence felt. Him and the beetle that's trying to join you in your new outdoor.
I was telling before the show, man, I got to get me a man cave. Hey, I got to.
I've got a. You can't see it, but I've got a Dr. Seuss quote on the wall. The quote of the day: if you have brains in your head and feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself in any direction you choose. Yeah.
There you go.
Came with the house. Couldn't get rid of it. Came with the house. So,
Dr. Seuss is the original rapper.
He really is. It's absolute. It's awesome. His books are great. They're great if you have kids as well. So, you could probably. Well, you might be able to bet on that too. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Israel, big, big, big week for Georgia football.
Yes.
In terms of
yes, it was.
The transfer portal, but the dead period opened up. So recruiting took off. We talked with Blaine Gilmer last week from Recruiting Every Second Network /EBASports.com. He's one of the recruiting experts there. We talked to him. We got a lowdown on all the visitors. The big news in the transfer portal not long after we cut our recordings. And then, of course, the SEC coming down with a ruling on interconference transfer. So it's going to be a transfer portal type of day for us. And then we might hit some headlines here as we go. But let's get into our two brand new transfers, Eric Gilbert, and Darion Kennard. I'm drawing a blank. Help me out here. Darion Kennard.
It is Derek. He is Kendrick.
Darion Kendrick. Kendrick.
Yes.
Kennard, not like my player here at Illwood. Who's a wide receiver. He's about 5'6", 120 pounds, but could lose you in a phone booth. Not him. Darion Kendrick the defensive back from Clemson. So let's start with Kendrick.
Yes, sir. Man, that is a big pickup. Huge pickup.
Huge. Huge. And you know, that makes the secondary go from, you know, before we got Tyke Smith, before Kendrick, the secondary was going to be a hang on, let's see if we can survive this Clemson game. Now,
exactly,
it becomes the strength of our team.
Exactly, man. We got three guys who have experience now, you know, outside of the ones that we already have. So you're adding three really prominent defensive backs in that backfield on the back end with a great coach and Coach Adai, with a great defensive coordinator and great minds in Muschamp, Landing, and Kirby Smart all on the same side, helping out that back end. Now we get to see the big dogs eat. Now we get to let those front seven go to work and we can cover on the back end. And that's what we've been talking about. Can we sustain on the back end enough to let the front seven do work? And now I think we can.
No doubt. And I saw a stat that we're going to be starting 12 5-stars, you know, in 22 spots. So I'm wow. So going back to the secondary, like, we can be a lot more aggressive with our coverages. We're going to have a lot more experience back there. You have a guy that's had national championship experience in De'Arion Kendrick. You have another guy that's played against the pass like crazy with Tyke Smith, because he comes from a league where running the ball is actually a four-letter word in the Big 12. So you got two guys that are really good, really versatile. Then you have Brandon Turnage that comes from Alabama. Well, what do we know about Alabama? Pretty good program, I've heard. They got some guy named Nick Saban, is that right?
Saban, I think that's right. I heard he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
I heard he can coach some ball. I heard he can get some guys to play well. So Turnage comes over from Bama, Tyke Smith and De'Arion Kendrick. You add that to some super talented guys, Keely Ringo, Speedster. He's one of those guys that one of the top fastest on the team. I think when they did miles per hour, he tracked in at like 22 miles per hour. I think it was like one behind Arian Smith. Arian Smith is obviously a track star, going to be competing in track and field for Georgia, turning in an impressive 10.3 in the 100-meter dash.
Yes.
Just a tenth of a second behind Matthew Bowling, who's considered one of the top in the country in track and field. So a lot of speed back there on that back end as well. A lot of things we can do, a lot of different combinations we can have. I can't forget Jalen Kimber. I can't forget Chris Smith, Latavius Breen.
Yes.
Those guys are going to contribute.
And Nylon Green just came in as well.
Nylon Green, he's a guy that we can bring on a little bit slower now. He's not somebody that we're going to have to throw in and say, all right, kid, go get it. You know, you've got some experience there to kind of mentor these young guys, which is I'm super excited about. So, again, that leaves Adam Anderson free to roam. Free to do. Like, now, just think of how creative now you can be with your pressures.
This reminds me so much of that era. You remember this era as well, in that 2001 to about 2005 era when you had Tim Jennings, DeMario Minter.
I was there.
Yeah, that's right. You were there. So you had all those guys on the back end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I mean, you had Odell Thurman, you had all those Quentin Moses, all those guys up front. Mm-hmm. And what they do? Wreak havoc.
Yep.
And that's what they did. Man. And now you got
Thompson, David Pollock.
Man. We are on defense right now. Exactly.
Yeah. And nobody was coming across the middle with Sean Jones and Thomas Davis and eventually Greg Blue.
Greg Blue. Oh.
Kentrell Curry. I saw Jennings, and Steve will cringe at this, and Steve probably remembers this, when Tim Jennings pick-sixed Eli Manning in Sanford. It was 2002. It was my freshman year. He pick-sixed him. And that kind of blew the game wide open, and it sent Eli into a tailspin for that game. And that Georgia, and in that very same game, I saw Boss Bailey get up, elevate, and block an extra point. You know how he used to do? It's like,
yes.
I think it's the Boss Bailey rule now, where you can't jump over the line.
Yeah,
he did that, and blocked the kick. It was amazing what he did. And so, Just to have a defense that looks and is built like that for the first time in the Kirby Smart era. He's had pieces, but he's never had the full complement. I think now that he has the full complement, I mean, you have to win the SEC. You have to get in the playoff. You have to get in the national championship game at least. That is the worst case scenario. You're national runner up this year with the way this team is loaded up. Best case scenario.
Yes,
win it.
I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. The only thing that could hold us back now is injuries. And knock on wood, hopefully that doesn't happen right now. Because with the talent we have on both sides of the ball, I mean, our defense just got from here to here in a matter of a week. You know what I mean? So you just add another piece to where, all right, now we don't have to play passive. We don't have to see what happens and have to get in the flow of the game. Now we can go out and just play ball. We can blitz. We can play coverage. We can do everything.
No doubt. Nothing is going to be – no stone's going to be left unturned as far as scheme goes. But you know what else is lost in all this? The fact that these guys weren't around in the spring, which means quality depth. So if we do get injuries, we can plug guys in that have been getting reps. Like Jordan Davis didn't do much in the spring.
Exactly.
Right? He had some guys getting backup reps. You had some of these reserve linebackers getting reps. Kobe Dean was a little bit nicked up. He didn't contribute much. Nolan Smith is a guy that's going to be useful in a bunch of different areas. I mean, we're going to – defensively, we're going to be able to do a lot. So let's flip over offensively now. Eric Gilbert, or how you say his name. I got to learn that now. he comes in. He is – I'm seeing him being compared to Kyle Pitts. And I don't know if
it's
a fair comparison.
Yes.
It's a wait and see for me as far as what he can do on the field. As far as that goes, that's a pretty lofty comparison. But I think he's going to, like, style of game is very, very simple, which means he can hurt you. He's not your standard tight end. He can hurt you in various different spots. So, again, that, you know, the word of the day is creativity. That might be – we might call the show creativity because that's what these new guys allow us to do. Like, offensively now
– I like that.
Team personnel – and still have a threat on the perimeter with Eric Gilbert.
We can do so much now. It's absolutely ridiculous. So Eric, he actually trained with one of the best Georgia Bulldogs to ever do it, and Terrence Edwards. So he trains with him over in the bubble. He's a 4'6", 4'7" guy. I mean, he's 6'4". 230 something like that, 240. I think that's what Terrence said the other day. So, I mean, now you're adding a different element. Now you're adding a Kyle Pitts type element to this offense, who, like you said, we can split him out wide. You can play this man in the slot and get him matched up against safeties and linebackers now, and you still have Darnell Washington, who's 6'7". You can put him in the slot now too. What can defenses do? Your average safety is 6'1", something like that, 6'3" on a good day. So now you got 6'5" and 6'7" in the slot, and a linebacker. Come on now. I love Roquan Smith. I love him to death, and he is a dang good football player. But picture him matched up against one of those two in coverage.
I would crack up. Like Roquan and Kyle Pitts never got a chance to go against each other, but that would have been an embarrassment on Roquan Smith. And I love Roquan to death.
Yes.
I have to hate Pitts because he's a Gator, but now that he's a Falcon, I have to love him again. Like,
yeah.
That's a conundrum. We can get to that later. But, how about this personnel grouping, right? You have Darnell Washington, Eric Gilbert, Arian Smith, and then you have a split back with Deuce and Cook. You put Smith by himself, and then you put Washington in the slot, Gilbert out wide, put Washington on the ball, motion Gilbert in. Think of all the stuff you can do with that.
Man, and then when you got Burton still, you got Jackson still, you got Pinkins when he comes back. I mean, you have God Almighty,
Justin Robinson.
It's ridiculous because we're going to run
Marcus
the ball.
Rosen,
we got a stable
Jackson.
Backfield.
Should I keep going?
Man, all we got to do now is protect. That's it. Yeah.
Protect.
We protect.
That, I mean, honestly, Israel, that goes, the two question marks coming into this season, like if we were to do a Georgia preview like 2 weeks ago, if we would have done one 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. our two biggest question marks are going to be secondary and O-line, right? Secondary's taken care of. Secondary's fixed. It's going to be good. O-line, it's just going to be an experience thing. Like there's going to be a few sacks given up that is due to non-experience. Like, hey, they just got us, right? There's going to be a few of that. But we're so athletic at the tackle spots, I think, if we start the right guys. Amarius Mims, Broderick Jones are two guys that I think are going to start and be stars in this league, right? You got your guards, Schaefer and Sawyer. I think having Mims come on so quickly and pick up the offense so quickly and have such a pretty – and he had a good spring. I think that gives you the opportunity now to bring Sawyer down into the guard spot where he belongs. So you have Schaefer and Sawyer, and then you have your center you got to figure out, which I think is going to be – And then you have Tate Ramage. Yeah. And Pran, I think, is your other guy. He's your other swing guy. So I think you have Ratledge, Van Pran, you have Xavier Truss, Warren McClendon, that you can throw out there at the tackle spot. Van Pran is your swing guy on the inside. Clay mm-hmm. Webb is another swing guy that can play center and guard. So you have a lot of cross training going on. So
it's going to be, it's like musical chairs for it now, but that's the great thing about it now. Cause think about this with the added depth that Eric Gilbert brings in. Okay. Like you say, you can go 13 personnel, 12 personnel looks a whole lot better, 11, 10, all those personnel look so much better now. Instead of throwing deep routes and stuff all the time, you just give those guys the ball in space. You still have Cook, you still have Milton, you still have Zeus, you still got running backs too that can, you can give them the ball in space as well. So now you have another big body that on screens and stuff that can block, instead of having just Karius and those guys up front blocking, So you can do so much more now to where even with an inexperienced line, now you can throw bubble screens or throw a quick pass guys the ball in space and watch them work. You know what I mean? Throw a fade to Eric or Darnell, at any point in the game.
At another SEC program, Kendrick has seen it at a program mm-hmm. that's been in the not only in the playoff but in the national title hunt every single year. So you're getting mm-hmm. a lot of great insight, you're getting a lot of great wisdom to share in the locker room, in the weight room, in class, around campus, around Athens. Two guys that understand what it takes, I think, to get there. And then you have another guy that can give you, in Tyke Smith, that can give you a lot of validation for your brand new DBs coach. And now I think that those guys are gonna, he gives credence, I guess, to Coach Adai, and that's, you can't, as a new coach, you can't understate that enough to have instant credibility as soon as one of your guys comes in, because he's gonna be spreading the good word.
Oh yeah, I mean, and like we talk all the time, building that relationship with players, he's a heck of a recruiter, obviously. Because how do you get a kid to come to Georgia? I mean, of course, Georgia, but how do you sell Georgia to that kid who's played for a national championship? You know what I mean? Why not Alabama? Why not Oklahoma? Things like that. Why does he choose Georgia? And that just shows like the confidence that they have in Coach Dye, and I'm pretty sure a lot of those guys on the back end have also been talking to him as well. But I mean, when you have an assistant coach that's bringing that much firepower, he's brought in two. And he's only been there, since March?
They hired him really late.
And looking at him today, I was kind of jealous. I was like, I got to start by working out, because, he made me kind of jealous today. Coach looking all buff and everything. Like, he can go out there and cover somebody right now. Exactly. So, Exactly. With that much firepower and with, you know, the great minds that they have on the defensive side of the ball right now, it is going to be absolutely wonderful to watch this Bulldog team go to work on defense. And I'm telling you, like you said, and like I said earlier, it looks early 2000 defense-ish right now. Now, time will tell when the season starts, you know, but they look really early 2000 Bulldog defense-ish right now.
Training camp's going to be interesting. It's going to be getting those guys on the same page, but these guys, they know what all that takes. And with the offense,
exactly,
you can slowly get a guy like Eric Gilbert in on the action. Defensively, same with Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
That will allow him to kind of fit right in and not really cause too much of a disruption. Because when you get a lot of transfers like that, that's one of the things you worry about is the transition phase. Like a team that's desperate for a transfer, when those guys come in, it seems like for a couple of games, they're a little bit off kilter. They find a way to win. They find a way to take advantage of that talent. But you can tell that they're just not quite on the same page yet. But a team like Georgia that, you know, you get a couple of transfers and it takes you from like A minus to A plus, you know, there's not enough pressure for those guys as well. And that's another key factor that I think is important for the success of this team, because I think now also that allows you to come out of the gates crisp against Clemson, or crisper, I should say, Clemson, versus you're trying to find a group. You're trying to find the best combination of five guys that can get on the same page. Now I think you're going to already have that, and you can mix those guys around and you can find them and they will already be comfortable because those guys will fit right into to what you do.
Exactly. And in the days of social media now, like I said earlier, you know, those guys have been talking to one another, you know, they've been in contact, you know, they've been, you know, hyping each other up and everything. The only thing that we're about, and, you know, we spoke about this on our own, on our last show, is the ego part. You know, something like with Eric Gilbert, you know, he's bringing in a lot of hype, you know, but does he have the mindset to perform, you know, with as much hype as he's bringing in? You know what I mean? So when you're bringing in a transfer, you know, at the cornerback position, we all know, and in the game of football, cornerbacks are the biggest ego guys in the world. Not only are they the funniest guys in the world, but, you know, they have a different swagger about them. You know, you want to make sure that although they're coming in, you know, that chemistry is working. You know, it's not like you don't want them to come in thinking, oh, I'm big fish. You know, like, no, because, you know, that could cause a problem. That could cause a riff in your room, you know, especially for Coach Adai with all those guys in there at one time, you know.
Well, yeah. And that's important, too, for those guys to come in and fit in, like, culturally or socially or however you want to describe it. So, you know, the egos – they know what they're walking into. They know the culture they're walking into. You check your ego at the door, and that's, you know, that's a given. They knew what they were getting into. So that shouldn't be an issue whatsoever. So I'm excited about that, but, let's keep plugging forward. Want to remind you guys to follow us on social media, find us. You can find the show at Willis Digital Media on YouTube. Eventually, we're going to get it squared away to where you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Twitch. I've got a Twitch account now, or we've got a Twitch account, I should say. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You can find Israel at TroopStar28 on Twitter and Instagram. Find me at CoachBurton36 on Twitter, at Burton.Corey on Instagram. You can find the show at Believe in Dogs on all social media platforms. So that's going to be... that's going to be a lot of fun as we roll on, as we press on. So let's move this thing forward. Okay. We talk about the transfer rules, right? Well, the SEC has made a ruling on their own interconference rulings, or interconference transfer rules. Okay. So it's official now and it's not a shock. But they announced today that it will allow immediate eligibility for interconference transfers following a vote by the league's presidents and chancellors. Okay, so they're going to align the conference with a recent ruling from the NCAA, I guess a couple months ago, that you're one time free transfer opportunity across all sports. So there's going to be, this is important measure. It's going to, Commissioner Sankey said this is an important measure to further support student athletes throughout the Southeastern Conference, while maintaining expectation that coaches and others avoid improper recruiting. This change will ensure student athletes who enroll at an SEC member institution will enjoy the flexibility afforded to other student athletes across the nation. So, I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great rule. I think they should just go ahead and get online, get in line with what's going on and what's going on in the NCAA. I think it's a great ruling. I think there's a lot of positives to be had here. I think if a kid wants to transfer, he should be able to transfer. Regular students can, and the whole thing, the whole time is saying, hey, we got to treat these kids like regular students. Well, they're being treated like regular students. They can go from LSU to Florida as a regular student. Might as well be able to do that as an athlete. But I know the arguments. I know the counterarguments. But what if, you know, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. Well, it's also not fair if they go to Clemson or Florida State or Texas free. I mean, it's a free market. So I think it's gonna be fine. I think it's going to be fine. So that's mine. I think that's my ruling there. So you know, I like it. And you know, I think some of the feedback is gonna be positive. I think it gives guys opportunities. I really do. I think it gives you opportunities. I think it gives you a chance to, and on the coaching side of it, you have to figure out now, like that's going to be part of recruiting. You have to figure out how to recruit your own roster. You have to figure out how you're going to manage the personalities on your team. How are you going to take it? How are you going to handle a kid that's not happy with his playing time? How are you going to do it? What are you going to do? What are you going to say to him? How strong is that relationship? Is he going to want to stick it out? Is he going to want to stay with you, develop, which I think ultimately this transfer portal thing, you know, honestly, if he leaves and tries to transfer to Florida, Florida's got to be able to take him, or South Carolina has to be able to take him for him, for the transfer to be successful. So it's just like any other transfer portal destination. You've got to have a place to go. And with the way the transfer portal stands right now, there's about 1,500 guys in the transfer portal. It ain't pretty right now. So the fact that I think this is going to hurt the conference is bogus. I don't think it's going to hurt the conference. I don't think you're going to see people. I know what the fear is. I know what it is. You're not happy at Georgia, so you're going to go to Tennessee. I know what's about to happen. Calm down. It's not going to be that way. People aren't going to want to just up and leave. It's not going to happen. So, Israel, you're back. You're back. Yeah, I saw you just kind of freeze up and it kicked you out. So, I just went on and on and on. I don't know if I was making any sense, but I went ahead and dished out our social media stuff there. Troopstar 28, Coach Burton 36, at Believe in Dogs on all social media platforms. So I talked about the new ruling, the new intra-conference transfer rule. So they're going to be in line with the recent NCAA ruling of your one-time transfer opportunity across all sports, one freebie. So what does that mean? How is that a good thing? Right. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing. How is it a great
thing? That is a great thing. That's a great thing in a way to where, okay, so if a kid transfers, he gets to play. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, you know. I think that's how it's great. Now, where they're gonna run into trouble is if a kid's unhappy and say he was being recruited by another SEC school, he's gonna wanna go to that school. Another school that he was being recruited by. You know what I mean? So will those coaches still have contact with him?
That's something they're going to have to – that's something you're going to have to do now. Like the idea of learning – now these coaches are going to have to, you know, It's honestly, it's like you're going to have the position dedicated to keeping up with recent, like, people that, you know, you finished second with, or like, there's going to have to be some sort. It's going to be kind of messy at first, just like the transfer portal.
It is,
but
it's going to be a slippery slope for a little while.
It's going to be, it's going to kind of be crazy, but there's 1,500 kids in the transfer portal. So it's like, even though you want to transfer, another place has got to take you. So anything else, like this whole name, image, likeness thing, it's going to be messy at first as they try to feel their way through it. But as time wears on, it's going to even out. It's going to be, you know, like we had a guest speaker. We had two guest speakers at practice today, Darren Mustin, as I said earlier, and a kid at Western Kentucky. Thanks to COVID, he's going to have a sixth year of eligibility. He's a defensive lineman at Western Kentucky. I coached him at Father Ryan, Jeremy Darvin. That's my guy. Mm-hmm. Love Jeremy. He told me about a horror story, a transfer portal horror story from one of his teammates, one of his roommates, actually, left. You know, he was like newcomer of the year. He was going to be like all, you know, he was set to be all conference. Like that's the kind of path he was on, right? So he goes in the transfer portal, thinking he's going to go Power Five, right? You know where he ended up?
Western.
So he found a place, thankfully, right? But like, can you imagine going from Western Kentucky to Western Illinois?
That's what happens when you get greedy. And I think that's what a lot of these a lot of these kids are going to run into. They're going to get greedy. All right. So they're not getting, say you go to Georgia, all right, and they just got what they just got, right? And you say, well, you know, Florida offered me two. They're my number two, so I'm going to go there. Well, you got to understand, they're recruiting every single year as well. You know, so you enter the transfer portal, all right, I want to go to Florida. And they're like, nah, we good. We're going to get this freshman kid that we've been looking at. You know what I mean? So, you know, the transfer portal can be deadly.
And you're having like expectations like, oh, I fit, you know, they were my number two school. They really wanted me bad. So I'm going to go in the transfer portal. I'm going to go to Tennessee.
Yeah. But then you left.
Yeah.
Then you went somewhere else. Yeah.
And then, you know, you call Tennessee and they're like, nah, we're good, man. We moved on. And you're like, oh, dang.
Nah, bro, we good. We good.
The next thing you know, like you're expecting to go to Tennessee. Then you end up at UT Martin.
Yes.
Like, not where you wanted to be. Nothing against UT Martin. UT Martin's a fine program. It's a Division I FCS program. I don't want to downgrade programs. But I mean, the expectation of like I'm gonna enter the transfer portal to go to a certain place is very, very dangerous.
Mm. You know, that's risky business. I'm confused on how is he newcomer of the year. He's this, that, and then he transfers out. Like, why? But why though?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to question his motives. Like, he's something like, you know, I think he's at like honorable mention, all conference, something like that.
Like, don't tell me that. God almighty.
I think he was like thinking he was going to go Power Five, probably.
But you didn't go Power Five the first time. See, there's a difference if you went Power Five the first time and then you want to go to another Power Five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you started, I don't know, in CUSA or whatever they call it now, and then you're trying to go to SEC now, that just doesn't make sense.
The only thing that would make sense is if you were like a grade issue and like a group of five school, like let's say, for instance, Buffalo. Buffalo takes you. But you had offers, but you didn't quite qualify. You weren't like a total non-qualifier where you had to go to JUCO, but you were like a couple of things away from being able to go to like, let's say North Carolina.
You're a bubble guy.
You're a bubble guy, right?
Yeah.
And there's a couple, all the other Power Five schools kind of backed off of you because of that. And you ended up at Buffalo, but you showed out, got your grades in order. Now you're ready to come back to Power Five. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. But that's very rare, right? That's
very rare.
That's not
very.
A common scenario. So, but yeah, I think it's good. According to the new policy, so here's a new layer. Here's another layer of it. According to the new policy, in order to gain immediate eligibility, the student athletes will need to declare their intent by February 1st for fall sports, May 1st mm-hmm. for winter sports, July 1st for spring sports. So if you're a basketball player, like if you're going to like if I think the kids that are transferring to Auburn and I think they got, you know, all the mass exodus we had with Georgia basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They would have till May 1st. So they would have had
okay.
to declare May 1st if they were going to transfer. Otherwise,
oh.
they have to sit out a year. So that's kind of like the layer of it. That's like, okay, I've got to like, I can't wait till the last minute. I've got mm-hmm. to make a decision. So I've got to make a quicker decision. So it's almost kind of like you're in the, like by February 1st, you have to establish, you have to be in the portal by February 1st for football.
So quick question though,
recruited.
Does that rule go into effect right now for those guys that did transfer out of Georgia?
I think the people that transferred before that, I think a lot of those are grandfathered in. I think like Henry Toto, 2020, I don't think he has to sit, or the guys that we got like Brandon Turnage, I don't think he's going to have to sit. The guys that we lost to other SEC schools, like Major Burns going to LSU, I don't think he mm-hmm. has to sit. I think they're going to let them fall under the NCAA rule. I think
that's true. Okay.
Going to take effect for like, you know, I think for spring sports, I think it's going to be effective immediately. So like if you're baseball
mm-hmm.
or like or whatever else is in the spring, you'll have until July 1st. But I think football, I think that time has come and gone. They're going to fall under the NCAA ruling for this season, for this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to probably fall under conference rule next cycle. That's my guess. That hasn't come out yet.
But here's another.
It'd be hard for SEC to say, okay, Henry 2020, okay, Brandon Turnage, okay, Major Burns, you have to sit. When that NCAA ruling came out, I think back in April, was it? So with that ruling that just came out nationwide, it's going to be hard to tell these guys they have to sit. Now that they've put further layers on it to kind of protect themselves from really getting this thing messy. So I think mm-hmm. that's great. I think that's a great caveat for the conference. And that gets them what they want as far as it not being the Wild West inside the conference. Mm-hmm. You're still maintaining
that
inside the conference. And, you know, you're giving those guys, hey, you got till this date. After this date, you have to sit out. Right.
Mm-hmm. So here's another curveball, right? So we have the NCAA rule and we have the conference rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now can you transfer twice? All right. So say if you transferred out of the SEC and then you decide to come back into the SEC, you see what I'm saying? Like,
well,
does that rule now go into effect now?
No, I think the NCAA rule allows for a one-time transfer.
There's one.
The SEC, I think, is falling in line with that. So I don't think you
– okay.
Think
still, yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Transfer. Like, if you're going ACC to SEC, that qualifies as not an – even though you made one jump from SEC to ACC, if you come back into the conference, that would still technically be your second transfer, which means you
mm-hmm. – You have to sit. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was like, they people can always find a little gray area in there, which, hey, it's not written that I couldn't do it. Then you know somebody will try it.
Oh, yeah. 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 You know what's going to happen. You know somebody's going to, it's probably going to be some quarterback that's going to press that law. He's going to go to like, he's going to transfer to like Boston College for a year and then decide that, man, this sucks.
It's cold up here.
It's cold up here. People yell at you.
In Boston.
In Boston. I'm, yeah, they really
do. Oh.
Boston.
I hate it. My dad lived in New Jersey.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. My dad lived in Jersey, so I would go and visit him. I would go and spend the summer with him. And obviously, if you look at me, if you heard me on the phone, you wouldn't think that I look like me, right? Unless you knew who I were, and unless you knew who I was. Right. You would think I was this country guy, you know, a country white guy, to be honest with you. Yeah. So now I go to New Jersey, and I sound like this. And I'm saying, excuse me, ma'am. You know, and people looking at me like, who are you? And, you know, the first thing they ask, you're not from here, are you?
Exactly.
I'm like, no,
I grew up in
clearly
a transient city, I guess, or transplant city, Atlanta. So, like, my accent, like, I got a kind of a chameleon accent, so I can kind of fit in wherever I am. So, if I immerse myself into Boston for, like, more than a few days, I'll kind of start to sound like them.
From Boston.
Or New Jersey. So, is that why you're a Yankees fan? Is that why you like the Yankees?
Yes. So my dad was really good friends with Ken Griffey Sr. Growing up. So I never got to meet Ken Griffey, I love Ken Griffey. I'm a big Ken Griffey Jr. fan, but I never got to meet him, but I met his dad, who was really cool, by the way. He was scouting for the Mets at the time, if I'm not mistaken. And I got to meet him and, you know, my dad, who's a big Yankee fan anyway, you know, that's just kind of how I grew up watching the Yankees all the time. So it was really cool. And then, but, you know, one of my favorite players of all time is Andrew Jones.
Yeah.
Who played for the Braves.
I'm curious.
You know, because I love that era with him and, well, all right, so you had Tom Glavine, Smoltz, Maddox, and then you had David Justice, and then were on the team as well.
Griff. You had who was the shortstop?
There was a lot. Yeah. There's so many.
Marquise Grissom.
Yeah, the squad, man.
Back in the good old days, man. I loved watching Braves baseball. The Braves are fun to watch now with
Acuña,
Ozzie Albies. The pitching, the bullpen can be frustrating.
So here's the thing that I understand, and we'll get back to football in a minute, but with everything that goes on in Atlanta, right? And I know Atlanta, the Braves bring in a lot of money. They just bought Truist Bank Stadium and all that stuff. Yep. Why can't they pay their players, mainly pitchers?
Because their management group is piss poor.
Kill me. And that doesn't make sense to me. Because with all the firepower they have right now, as far as putting up runs, I'm pretty sure that if they had just had decent pitching, even not every, at least two games out of the series, they would be pretty dang good.
Yeah. No, it's pitiful. Absolutely pitiful. Yeah,
but that's why I can't watch the Braves. I get mad. You know, I'm a baseball player through and through. Mm-hmm. You know, I like football, but I love baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to watch it and things like that. And it just makes me mad when I watch them play.
Yeah, it does. It does. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about, you know, that they need a singular owner. They have this corporation that's not really – they're not really in tune with what's going on with baseball.
Yeah.
They want to stick to a certain number because it doesn't mess with their profit margins, I guess. So if they keep their payroll under a certain amount, they can increase their profit margins, which is all they care about. They need to get an owner.
Too many Chiefs, not enough Indians.
Exactly. And that's what killed the Thrashers, the Atlanta Thrashers, if you remember who they are.
That's right.
There's an ownership group. And this is the reason. This is one of the reasons in like the 2000s that the Hawks were so bad. After it's like 1999, the Hawks had like two good years, until they changed ownership groups. But there was an ownership group called the Atlanta Spirit. It was 12 like big money, big wigs that came together, that pulled together to own the Phillips Arena, the Thrashers, and the Hawks.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And they were so bad. Like, they mismanaged it so bad because they couldn't agree on anything. So you have a hockey player in Ilya Kovalchuk with the Thrashers, who he came up with the Thrashers. He was drafted by the Thrashers. Mismanaged him so bad. They got Danny Heatley. They had to trade him. They traded for Marian Hossa. He was good, but they could never pay anybody. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to pay him. They were cheap. So they had to trade Kovalchuk before his big deal. They had to trade Hossa before his big deal. Slava Kozlov for his big deal. Kari Lehtinen fell apart because they had no talent in front of them. Attendance plummeted, and they had to move the team to Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. So the Atlanta Spirit Group lost the Thrashers, the second Atlanta hockey team to Canada. Atlanta had two NHL teams at one time.
That's crazy. You know, that's Calgary, crazy. But right now, though,
they used to be
what's that?
The Calgary Flames used to be the Atlanta Flames.
No way. I didn't know that.
Yep. It used to be the Atlanta Flames back in like the
that's 70s, crazy.
I think, early 80s, something like that. Yeah.
Used to be the Hawks are going to the second round of the playoffs.
They are. New ownership group, new GM, new structure. Now, their whole structure. When they passed on Chris Paul to draft Marvin Williams, they lost me for a long time. They lost me. And it's not like they had a good point guard. Like, they were a banana peel away from having me as their point guard.
Yeah.
I mean, I got handles, but not like that. Their best point guard was Roy Al-Ivy, which I love Roy Al-Ivy.
That's true. I like him too.
He's a good dude. A solid role player.
Yeah.
But you pass up Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Who is
role players don't win you championships unless you have
a superstar.
Some dominance in that front five.
And their superstar was Joe Johnson, who's the most unassuming superstar of all time.
Yeah, and he was pretty good too then.
He was
really but here's another fun fact for you. All right, so Georgia just got some firepower, mm-hmm. right? Yep. The Hawks are in the second round of the playoffs.
Yep, so you got a lot. Yep, the Braves are hitting home run. Cunha's leading the league.
They are. And Georgia Tech's still Georgia Tech. So we're still winning no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, Georgia's still number one in that pecking order.
That's true.
The Hawks aren't there yet.
They win this round. Now it's going to turn some heads.
Now you got my attention. Braves need to figure out some solutions in the bullpen. They're starting pitching in a mess too with injuries. But Acuña is lighting the world on fire, and so is Freeman.
They're a bunt away from going to the World Series last year. A bunt.
That's so
frustrating. And I will forever be mad at the fact that they did not bunt in that situation with no outs, runner on first, no, runner on second with no outs. And they didn't bunt.
Yeah,
not one time to move them over.
Yeah, that's frustrating because you had a chance to. The Falcons, they're a wait and see, but they're getting ready to trade Julio.
So they are.
They're getting ready to trade Julio, probably to the Titans.
To the Titans. So apparently the Ravens are very interested in him as well.
Yeah.
So think about this. So now you're adding Rashad Bateman, who they just drafted.
Yeah.
You're adding the plethora of tight ends they have because they go so many different formations and 13 personnel.
Yeah.
And then you got Lamar Jackson back there with a dang good offensive line.
They drafted Tylan Wallace too from Oklahoma State. Let's not let that one slip through the cracks.
I'm telling you, the AFC over there is about to be real good.
Yeah, and they just signed somebody in free agency, too, that I think was pretty good. Hang on, I'm going to look that
up. Oh, they signed a running back. Did they sign a running back? They might have signed a running back.
They love signing running backs. We know that. Yeah, I'm going to look that up. So, yeah, I think, Georgia's still Georgia's still added the most firepower, right? They have... Yeah, they're still the number. They signed Sammy Watkins too.
That's who it was.
Good veteran leadership there. So, but yeah, the Falcons have a long way to go. Georgia Tech is still climbing that mountain. The Hawks are close. The Braves are close. But right now, Georgia's still the number one show in town. And adding the fire, they might have just ran away. So I'm extremely happy with the transfer portal and everything they were able to accomplish. So
I am as well. Yeah, that was really good. But you know, but I know before we wrap up or we get close to wrapping up, I just want to say Josh Brooks is the man. Have you seen the new facility, by the way?
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but holy cow, man, it is outstanding. I don't know if they have like a full virtual tour. If they do,
oh my god, they got like full blown Cadillacs in the locker room now. Have you seen those seats? And it's got their face and jersey thing up. They got them in their jersey, their face on top of their locker. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous, and I can't wait to go and tour it whenever I get a chance to.
I want to go and tour it, see what they're working with.
Awesome.
I want to see it all. I want to see everything that they have in there. It's amazing. And they deserve it, man. And Josh Brooks, grand slam AD hire. I know you and I both sound like John Gruden with all the cheerleading that we're doing, but it's not.
I'll gladly be that.
Yeah, it was the right move, right? And he's killing it. The only blemish on his resume right now is the whole mess with the basketball program. But you know, I guess basketball is just a more transient sport. You know, you lose four, you gain four. They got a transfer from Gonzaga the other day. Tom Crean. Before we wrap up, just some random news and nuggets from UGA athletics. Tom Crean is expected to make another hire as an assistant coach. He's going to add Stephen F. Austin, assistant Wade Mason, to his staff.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be somebody that's going to add some depth to the coaching staff and add a whole nother recruiting territory there. So I'm excited to see what basketball is going to do. They have some work to do, man. They're going to have to gel again, which is kind of frustrating, but they're going to have to gel.
Yeah. You, one thing about football is you're around each other enough to where you gel automatically. You know, you're together way more than any other sport, in my opinion, you know, just because, all right, you got to see each other for this amount of time and you study with each other and blah, blah, blah. So chemistry is basketball. And you know, when you lose so many and then you gain a couple here, you know, and with the track record that Josh Brooks is going right now, he's looking for results. And that's one thing that Kirby Smart's looking for as well, results.
Exactly.
And if those results can't happen, then somebody's going to be looking for a job real soon. But I hope it does. I like Coach Green. I like what he's done, you know, before losing these guys. And I like his body of work. I think he can fix it. You know, I just hope it's sooner rather than later for absolutely. His sake.
He just got to do it. This is the year. And I think Josh Brooks has told him that. I think, you know, he didn't want to take the job. Then like 3 weeks later, say, oh, Tom Crean, by the way, you're fired. I didn't think he wanted that to be his first move. And then he got down the road and he's like, well, I can't fire him now. I'm gonna give him one more go at it. But I think his speed is red hot. So Israel, this is going to just about wrap us up. The last thing I want to talk about is the last thing I want to mention, I should say, is the College Football Hall of Fame has two big nominees for the 2022 class. That would be Champ Bailey and Garrison Hurst. They are among the 78 players that are being considered for induction among the football subdivision. This is for Champ. This is his second consecutive year he's been considered. And then I think for Hurst, he was, I think this might be his first time up for consideration. So just a little bit of resume, college resume for these guys. Champ Bailey was named All-SEC first team, both 97, 98. In 98, he was a consensus All-American in addition to locking his side of the field down, recording just three interceptions as a junior. If you're a DB and you have just three interceptions, that means they're probably not coming to you as a corner.
Yeah.
That means that's actually a good thing. Champ Bailey also chipped in on offense, catching 47 passes for 744 yards and 5 touchdowns. He was taken 7th overall in the 99 draft by the Washington football team before being traded to the Broncos in what was a huge deal. The Broncos trading away Clinton Portis to the Washington football team, then called the Redskins. So Champ Bailey, that's his resume, which on paper it doesn't seem like much, but dude had a major impact, and it's probably going to be.
You got to look at his body of work. I mean, when I think of Hall of Fame guys, you know, on paper, yeah, that sounds really good. I mean, it doesn't sound really good. I mean, but when you look at the body of work and what he was able to do, like you said, 3 interceptions. Well, somebody who doesn't know football, well, he only had 3 interceptions. Well, look how many times they threw the ball over there to him.
Yeah, you got to look and see how many times.
You can't intercept the ball. Yeah, you can't throw. You can't go intercept the ball from across the field if you're not on the side. You know, so I mean, you're a first round draft pick, and you play forever. You know, in the NFL,
he's gonna be
and the production that he's had in the NFL. I mean, it's how would he be able to be inducted faster in the NFL than in college football?
Exactly. That would be – I'm kind of actually hoping that happens.
That would be a travesty.
I'm kind of hoping that happens because I think that'd be funny. Like, hey, he's in the NFL Hall of Fame, but not the College Football Hall of Fame. Come on.
Not in the College Football Hall of Fame.
So the other guy, Garrison Hurst, 92. He was named unanimous All-American SEC Player of the Year. The Doak Walker Award winner, finished 3rd in the Heisman Trophy voting. Not bad. During his 3rd and final season at Georgia, he ran for 1,500 yards and 19 touchdowns in his career. He had 3,232 yards, which is good for 2nd all-time in the program history. It was good for 2nd at the time. Unfortunately for Hurst, that mark has since been beaten by Chubb and Sony and Gurley. So Hurst is now 5th on the all-time rushing list. Thanks to 1 Nick Chubb, 1 Sony Michel, and 1 Todd Gurley. He was also selected 3rd overall by the Phoenix Cardinals in the 93 draft. He had a gruesome injury, would have had a longer career, but he had a gruesome injury against the Falcons in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, never really bounced back from that. But nonetheless, impact player for Georgia. Too bad that he didn't have too much around him there in the early 90s. They couldn't do much, and they certainly couldn't get past Spurrier's Florida Gators fun and gun offense. So two good guys, 2 good dogs going into, hopefully going into the College Football Hall of Fame. They're nominated. So we will be rooting for them. If I had any voting power, which Israel, if we get any more famous, we're probably going to have voting power. So if we get more famous,
I hope so.
That would be great, wouldn't it? So
it'd be awesome.
Wrap up our first show. So how'd you feel? How'd you feel being on camera?
This is cool. So I'm trying to like look straight ahead and not look at myself over here in the corner and then not look down at you, yeah. You know? So it's kind of like Talladega Nights. You're like, I don't know what to do with my hand, you know? Yeah. But I mean, this is cool. Yeah, cool. I'm glad we got the opportunity, you know, and it is a thank you to everybody that listens to us,
yeah.
You know, because without you guys, none of this would be possible.
Exactly.
So thank you out there in the podcast world and in the sports world for making this possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So do you talk to Terrence Edwards? We need to get him on the show.
I do actually, you know, he's the wide receiver coach at Pace Academy.
That's right.
Right now. So,
Terrence, I'm calling you out. Let's get on the show. Let's talk about that 02 team.
Most definitely. He's a great guy. I try to get with him whenever I'm in Atlanta, you know, because I'm always learning, you know. I think he's actually the offensive coordinator this year at Pace, if I'm not mistaken. So shout out to my man, Terrence.
Yeah.
Good luck this season as well. And also good luck to all our campers. I saw Georgia had a full crew this week, not only with just guys going on their visits, but, you know, with camps this week. I got to see pictures, you know, with Kirby Smart and all the staff with guys as well. So good luck to everybody that's going to camp. Hope you stay safe and good luck this season as well.
That's going to do it for us here on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Find us on social media at Believe in Dogs on all social media platforms. We are presented by betonline.ag. We thank you for listening. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. We will see you back here next week on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast presented by betonline.ag. And as always, go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.